Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, stay tuned because we are going to have an entire conversation on the state of our health in Gauteng. And I've got the MEC of Health in the province, Nomantu Nkomo Ralehoko, who's, as I said, in studio with us. So appreciate you coming in, MEC. Thank you so much for coming. And you're welcome. Welcome to Kaya House.
Thanks, people, for having me at Kaya House. I really appreciate. And let me greet the viewers, even the listeners at home.
You've been busy.
It has been a long day.
It's been really, really hectic. I mean, we all know health in Gauteng is no, you know, it's not a small job at all. Let's talk about some of, you and I last spoke when we had the state of the province.
Yes.
And lots of development since then. In fact, it's as if it was the other day. But let's talk a little bit about some of the work that you're doing already in your attempts to improve the health sector in Gauteng. I want to talk a little bit about the e-filing, which is something that I think is way overdue, is very, very welcome, that you and I will be able to go to any clinic, any hospital, maybe just tap in our ID number, and somehow every information is in one central database from whichever government entity we've been able to use. Talk to me about how that is working at the moment and how it's developing.
You are right, Pam. It has been one of the, by the way, problems that we've been having in the province, the issue of our filing system. You go to the hospital, we are unable to get even your card. But we've started it now at Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital, and we have a space there that is bigger, that is accommodating all the work that must be done in the hospital in terms of that work. But again, what we've decided to do is to streamline the patient's management and improve the efficiency in relation to that, because using now technology, because of the power of technology that we have realized. And it's going to help us even to minimize some of the cases of litigations that we have been getting, because sometimes we lose the cases because we don't have a file.
Oh, I see. A patient
says, whatever, want to argue in court. You can't argue if you don't even have a file in terms of that stat. So this health information system that we are using now, it's at an advanced stage in terms of rolling it out to all the hospitals. We have some stages of doing it, like the apex that they say, you will do this one. Some are even training now the clinicians in the hospitals to start doing to rolling out some of the programs that we're doing that are in the health information system that we're using. And but we're sticking to this one of one patient, one file, because we believe that when we go to another region, I must be able to press in the system and know that Pam was here and this is the treatment that he received. This is the doctor, by the way, that have been treating her all these months that she has been not well. And until you graduate to that stage, part of the things again that we said we are going to do is the referral system that is already at the final stages. When you get, the ambulance gets you, the ambulance must know that there are beds at Edenvale Hospital. They must not take you there, and then when you're already there, there's no bed for you. We say, no, our beds are full. That app is there already, and it's functioning. We've tested it. The other part is the queue management that is frustrating. You go to our institution to find a lot of queues that are there. We are rolling it out now. It has started at Raima Musa, because we felt that let's start it there. You remember part of the issues that Omar's raised in the report.
Yeah.
It was the issue of the queue management in our hospitals. So we're working on that. It's rolled out, it's working, and we're taking it out to other hospitals. One other area when we were busy with this e-health, as Premier calls it, we were worried that maybe we'll get resistance from the clinicians and other people that are working in the hospitals because they are used to the papers. Believe me, doctors are happy about the e-health that we're introducing, the systems that we're introducing. So now that's why we feel that we don't get resistance even inside those that are in the wards, because you think that sometimes it should only be done at the administration.
Gotcha.
It's not at that level.
Yeah.
It has moved out even to the wards themselves, doctors that are working there as HODs, HOUs, including the nurses that they are working with them. They are improving. Charlotte Makleke is leading in that space. So that's why I'm just highlighting even some of these hospitals that we have done that so well. When I checked alleged at some stage one of the small hospitals like your Far East and Pulusong, they are not far from each other. You remember sometimes, I think at some stage when you were interviewing me, you indicated about now the patients can go to hospitals and get medication.
Yes.
How will I know?
Yes.
Now I know. When you go to Far East, when you press the button in the system, we are aware that, Pam, you were here yesterday. And you took pills for whatever you took pills for because you can't reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't get you. So you were at Pulusong, you left Pulusong, you went to Far East. So we've integrated our system.
Excellent.
Which I think it's quite of the good things that we are doing.
Since you are already starting your rollout of the NHI, does it mean that this will also integrate with the private sector information? In other words, if I just punch in my details, my ID number, you'll be able to access information that's at, I don't know, Morningside Hospital. Mm-hmm. Does it mean it's all, are they collaborating? Are they cooperating? Mm-hmm. Is that already underway?
Once we start implementing the NHI now with the private sector, we'll definitely do that one. But at the moment, we're going to focus on our own. Make sure that that system that you said we must digitize everything, it must be in one central data. That's what we are going to do. Then once now we are at an advanced stage, we will definitely bring in the private sector because we will be working very closely with them in terms of those systems and the management. Like, for example, you need a data center if you want to do that. So our data center will be working very closely with the public and private so that those centers are able to do one and the same thing that is expected in every hospital or any institution. But that one, it can be done now until our systems are in place on our side.
So how is the rollout of the NHI going in the province?
It's going so well. I can say that because you remember there are quite a number of areas that we should look into. One of those is the infrastructure in the hospitals, is the governance structures in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. For example, today's my visits, because you are aware that I was going to other hospitals, I just want to check our governance, clinical governance structure is strong enough to carry the burden that we are going to have, and they are stronger because you need to make sure that all the disciplines that are in the hospital, they work together, they work very closely. There's no, the left hand knows what the right hand is doing. So I've been checking that now in terms of the systems of the rollout of NHI, because we want to provide that equitable, accessible, high quality healthcare for all the South Africans. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do that, you must start doing the training now. If you feel that there are specific areas there where you have not skilled or reskilled those that are inside, that needs to be done. Another issue is the capacity that we must have. We're doing the audit now in every facility. How many nurses that are responsible for a specific discipline, for example, your midwifery, neonatal, all those specific areas in our hospitals, we must know that we have them. But remember, on the nursing, that's why I'm highlighting that one, we don't have enough capacity because at some stage we stopped training nurses as the government. Now we're rolling it back, now training of nurses, but we're saying out of the ones that we have, can you reskill them so that those that are going on pension, we are able, if the ones, and because at some stage even the ones that are going on pension, there is a call that we are using, especially on the integrated health system on education, which is a unit that it works with the education of making sure that our children are immunized. We do those that project. And in that project, we are using highly skilled nurses, the seniors that have been there, our veterans, some of them have resigned, but they still have the energy to come back. So they are coming back to assist us in the system. But we can't only rely on them. Skilling and reskilling is something that we must do. Training must be done, preparing for NHI. And I think we're doing that. Our facilities must be at the level that is expected. And Premier gave us a call that I must upgrade all the facilities. We're working on that. We're reprioritizing now our budget to ensure that when you get into the hospital, this is a place that you are not going to die. You know that I'm going to be healthy when I get out of this place. So those are the things that we're doing to prepare for the rollout of NHI.
You're adding training of nurses into this budget. Yes. That's already so tight.
Yes.
Is it going to be under your budget or will it be under higher education?
We are working very closely with the higher education, but we have our own institutions like your Gauteng and Nursing College that we have. It's working, the syllabus that it's done by higher education. But we have partnership with TVET colleges, we have partnership with universities. universities, your Wits University, University of Pretoria, and your it's UJ, Pretoria, Wits, Sefako Makgatho University. Yeah. So I'm just counting those academic hospitals that we are working very closely with them. So some of the trainings that we're going to do with them, we will be having, yes, an amount in terms of the budget that we must do, but we'll be using that budget because it's part of the things that we should be doing when we're doing those training. But even for TVET colleges, we have partnerships with them, almost all of them in Gauteng, because we want them to assist us to train even our lower levels of employees, because we want some of them to be trained on artisan, how to fix a globe, how to do painting, because we want, like, I always say to them, can we make them like a hotel? When you wake up sometimes, Pemet the hotel, you see a person that is painting the windowsill. Just to make it clean. It's his job that all these two floors, it's his floors. If there is a crack, that crack is being closed, and we're moving towards that direction now of ensuring that everything is at the level that is expected.
Infrastructure backlog, that's what you and I discussed the last time we saw each other, and you've been doing the rounds just to check how some of this is going. You've today, for instance, went on some hospital visits. Tell me about what you see.
What I've seen today is the improvement that we are doing in the hospitals that we have been. But I'm happy again that even those old hospitals like Tambo Memorial Hospital, it was built in 1905. And people are not telling them about it. That's the oldest hospital, one of the oldest. There are others that are old, but that one is the oldest. So we're improving there. We're making sure that whilst that hospital, it's there, it's functioning, there must be improvement that it's done immediately so that they can qualify, because there are even health standards operations that are being done of checking our hospitals if they are to the level of NHI. That is an independent body, that health standards that is done, operating standards that is done. So it helps us, because if I can go to a hospital, definitely I'll rate myself 80%. Mm. But if it's an independent person, I can't rate myself 80%, because that person knows what is expected. With the compliance standards that are expected, what are those? So they do that now, and they are not just ticking the box. They fail you if your hospital is not up to that level. And our hospital almost, some they are at 100%, like the Mamelodi Hospital, it's sitting at 100%. Some are at 90%, 95%, 99%. Some they are at 70%. So yesterday I was getting a report, because they've categorized them, and they were saying about 17 hospitals qualify for NHI now in the province, based on the report that is coming from them. And I was saying to the colleagues then, let's maintain that. I know that it's always difficult if you are number one or you are number two to maintain that level. Even when you were studying, you remember your parents will want you to sit at number five and say, you can't lower your guard, go up instead of going down. So we need then to up our game. That's why we are having monitoring tools now that we are doing. We have project managers working very closely with the Department of Infrastructure that are going to monitor in all these hospitals where there are areas where we are not doing good. We have to do good. It's a must to do, not something that it's not a need for us. It's a must that we must all do, and I think the team is capable to do that.
You launched very recently the I Serve with a Smile campaign. Have you been able to assess if it's bearing fruit?
I have assessed that. In fact, today when I was at Tambo Memorial, they were giving me a report that is specifically talking to specific areas that will help us in terms of the assessment. The impact is there. The complaints are no longer the number of them that we used to receive. We receive now minimal complaints. More compliments, we are getting it, but not everybody is happy. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest. But because you've seen even the recent video that was circulating, it shows that you can't have everybody saying we have done it. But what does that mean? Immediately where we get the complaints, we go all out again and roll it. This I Serve with a Smile campaign. 2 days ago, it was on Friday, not 2 days ago. On Friday, we're in City Bank, because we knew that there are a number of areas where people are not happy. Mm. So that's what we are doing now, because that campaign is not only focusing on the nurses, which I think
was going to ask you exactly that.
People always think that it's for the nurses.
Exactly.
It's not for the nurses, that campaign. It's for the security guard at the gate, for the cleaner at the gate, for at the reception, for the receptionist, for the administrator, for the porter, for the nurse, for the doctor. everybody that is in the hospital must deal with herself with a smile campaign. Good thing today I had a meeting with the religious leaders, because Premier gave me a responsibility to head a subcommittee on religious leaders. They are prepared to assist us on palliative care,
mm-hmm.
which involves a bit of counseling. Mm. When people are sitting in the queues in the hospital, they will be working with my team, which is responsible with ISAF with a smile. They want us as a Department of Health to train them on ISAF with a smile, as the people now that will be coming, but even spreading the word to those people that they preach and pray with them in the churches, because they are inviting us that come and work with us, but we want to assist you on this campaign of ISAF with a smile in the province and in the country.
MEC, let's just take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be very happy to take those calls on 086 000 00959, and voice notes, I see them also coming through on 063 688 0959. Thank you so much for staying with us. I'm in conversation with MEC of Health in Gauteng, MEC Nomantu Nkomo Raluhuku, and we're very happy to take your calls on 086 000 00959. We've got Lerato MEC on the line. Good evening, Lerato.
Hi, how are you, Tommy?
We are well. Thank you so much for calling.
You're speaking to Lerato. Hi to the MEC of Health and Gauteng. For me, Premier, it's more of, it's not really a comment, but more of appreciation to the MEC of Health and Gauteng, because I've been following lately what is happening on the Department of Health and all that. But I just want to say to the MEC, like she just said, MEC, we see you, just keep on doing the good work, and we are looking forward to the intakes of the nurses for the new year 2024 or 2025. And like you just said on your interview, MEC, you want to make all of us happy. For an example, just to cut it short, I'm from Eastern Cape originally, and we do have the Department of Health also there. But now, because of work, I'm in Gauteng, and we are all, most of us are flooded in Gauteng. So we sometimes we just need to go to give credit where it's due. And I always say to people, we must also, when you are giving criticism to, say, Gauteng Department of Health, we must also bear in mind that almost all the provinces were flooded in Gauteng. So at least sometimes we are doing criticism, we should be mindful and give, constructive criticism to the MEC. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Lerato. I'm going to go to Charles, also in Johannesburg. Hi, Charles.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for calling, Charles.
Yes. I've got a question here to the MEC. I'm one of the COVID contracts we're working at the 2023 cohort, of which one of those, actually, let me say, we are a group of 125 COVID-19 who were working under cohort 2023. Those who are feel like we were discriminated when the Premier announced that people who were working under COVID contract must go back to their work. So only to find that only 511 were taken, and then some of us, we were left outside. We made an effort in getting the GDOH and the OOP about our issues of being left out while others had been renewed. We met with Gauteng Treasury, MEC, Mr. Mamabolo, last year, December 2023. He requested that we go for physical verification, of which we did. On 2024, the OOP and GDOH invited us at the OOP for physical verification. On the 29th of February 2024, they called us for verification results at OOP, of which only 125 contract workers appeared successfully, and they were funded by Gauteng Treasury. Our list were handed over to the Department of Health, but ever since, nothing had happened. Our question to the AMAC is, when are we going to be reconstructed as it was promised?
MEC?
Yes. I think, Charles, what we can do, because I know there are those that were not verified. Some were verified, but they were not employed. That process is still there. When we do the verification, Pam, we want to know which hospital were you working. We want you to give us the payslip.
Okay.
so that you bring that payslip, and then we look into the system which part that in that personal number, your personal number,
yes,
specifically in the payslip, that's what we want. And then we can start then looking into those areas where we can place them.
All right.
The process has not been stopped, but sometimes some of the colleagues don't have that. They don't have that information. But Charles, if you have that information, please, you'll have to speak to Hauhelo. We'll leave it to PEM so that they can forward it to all the Nansikari. Email address for Hauhelo Malisa, who's the chief of staff in the office of the MEC, so that you can send all your documents. We'll have a session with you in my office with those documents so that we can see where we place you. But you, all the people that we've taken them back to their hospitals where they were working.
Charles, just to ask, you know, have you started the process of verification?
Yes, we did that already, and then we did that on January, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
I still remember very well. We submitted everything, all the documents that the MEC is talking about, we submitted them.
All right. No, that's fine. I'm going to take you back to the producers, Hauhelo, and then we will then take it offline. Is that okay? All right. Nandi, thank you so much for calling. Good evening and welcome. You're in Germiston.
Yes, I am. Good evening and good evening to the MEC. I think for me, it's more of a comment. There's been quite a lot that has been said about the Gauteng Health Department, and almost feels as if it's been under attack, if you will, if one observes the kind of media alerts that it's been receiving. But I think, Mr. Taylor, just to say to the MEC that, you know, firstly, one, we're very grateful for these kind of sessions because they do put into perspective what really happens. And I think agreeing with the earlier speaker about there are certain complexities within the health structure, the health system as a whole, that we sometimes do not really get to fully understand or appreciate what government is trying to do. And so I think for me is more of a thank you with regards to explaining, you know, things around infrastructure and the plans that are there, but also the rollout of NHI and how that's going to impact and how ready are we, you know, as a province to really bring, you know, to implement the act itself. And so I think these kinds of opportunities are really important to really educate us as the public. And also just to also say that I've interacted quite a lot with the public hospital. Just recently took my brother to Betakowa. And, you know, the systems that they have in place, the I service, the SMAR, the fact that, you know, the queues have incredibly reduced over the years. And really that is something that we must also commend. And, you know, again, agreeing with the fact that when we criticize, we must also never forget, you know, where we come from and where we are and what, you know, we expect. Yes, we're not going to clap for a fish for swimming, but where there are improvements, we must also say that and actually appreciate the hands-on approach that we are currently seeing of late, of, you know, and there is kind of responses that go into detail in terms of what is really happening, because I think with our government in general, it's difficult to get you know, the lay person, the me and you, to actually understand what is it that you are doing. You know, how can we measure your performance in the next 5 years, you know? And these kinds of programs really assist us as people who access healthcare, public healthcare, to actually understand. And we wish that this can actually happen more often because, you know, health is a human right, it's a contested right, and you know, and it's a right that needs to be protected. And so we absolutely cannot, because one life is too much to lose. I think that this was just what I wanted to convey. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nandi. We'll give the MEC a moment to reflect on that just now, but let me take a voice note as well. MEC?
My name is Teboho Itumeleng. I was working at Para Hospital as a COVID-19. My contract ended on March 2023. And on August 2023, they recruited 511 COVID contractors, and I was part of them, and I didn't get my appointment letter there. So we went back to the Premier's office, or they verified us, and the verification was successful, but we are still waiting. Even today, we don't have our appointment letter. So my question is to ask the MEC that what is the way forward, because we're still waiting for our appointment letters.
Okay. So, MEC, this is slightly different from the previous caller. So, from Charles, he's saying he did do the entire process and all he was waiting for was the appointment letter. So I suppose he's at the very late part of the of that stage.
Yes, that one, because it was done in June.
Yes,
that cohort that has been verified in June, I know that we are reprioritizing in terms of the budget. They will be taken. Because remember, at that time when it was done, is the time that we were busy with the elections.
I see what you mean.
So we started working in July, as you know. Mm. Now it's August, but we are still busy with that. What I've done, I've submitted to the Premier the list of vacancies that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That some of these people that were part of that will be part of that team when we do the interviews. So definitely we're looking into that because we had to reprioritize.
Yes.
Now we're coming back then, we'll be getting our budget now for that, including the personnel.
Yes.
Because it's not only for the projects in the department, but for the personnel. So we'll look into that. We're not forgotten.
Will you be able to take them? What capacity do you have with, as you're saying, you know, you've got some vacancies that you have?
Yeah. We will be able to take them because already the team, it's separate from any other teams that we were supposed to do the COVID-19, because that one is an instruction that Premier said we must do.
All right.
It's a must-do thing. So, and we know 99% of them are already in the system.
Yes.
It's only this number of these people that are calling, some of them that are not there, that we're verifying again then, so that those that have been verified, indeed they are true, but it's just the system of bringing them back to the system.
Mm. Yeah. You were embarking on developing beds, or at least adding beds for mental health patients. Mm. We know after Life Isidimeni, there was an effort to prioritize patients with mental illness. And so let's just talk about what you've already done so far in prioritizing that. In fact, the Premier very often speaks of the fact that you do have other patients who, you know, should be assisted by both the health services as well as social development, because they come into the system because maybe they were on drugs and so on. So quite a complex situation.
Yes.
But let's talk about what you're doing to capacitate the hospitals with those mental health beds.
What we have done is to make sure that in every hospital we have acute mental health beds now that we are doing. So, for example, at Peking Mlangeni, we have a ward that we've just extended there because of the capacity that we didn't have. Para Krisani Paragwanath Hospital, we have wards that we have done there. If you go to Bethakloa, the old Bethakloa Hospital now, because we have the new one, we've renovated that hospital.
Mm.
We have some beds, 60 bedded that we have done for mental health. And we are working very close, including Tembisa, we have the where I was, Southern Hospital. We are finalizing a big area, which it's about 60 bedded wards.
Mm.
That will be there too. And it's George Mukhari, Dr. George Mukhari Hospital. We have that. And we have quite a number of hospitals, in fact. Kopanong, we even have now Kopanong Gateway Specialized Mental Health Daycare Clinic that is not there in the country and in the province.
Mm.
It's the first clinic that we're having of that one, which is a gateway. We're nicely done. We renovated again some space, but again we work with private sector. We have Selby Hospital just right on the top in Johannesburg, where we have even some of the patients from Life Isidimeng that we've accommodated there. Kalinen Hospital, we have some of those patients that were there during Life Isidimeng that are at Kalinen. But we have even some activities, like in Sibukeng, if you can go there, we've got a beautiful garden that have been done by our own patients who have been not well, but because a garden is therapeutic, it's part of the therapeutic things that we're doing. But at Selby, which is a model that we want to do it in almost all the hospitals, we're training them even on knitting, on sewing, on baking. They were baking nice cakes when I was there, doing some exercises, sports, arts and culture activities that they're doing, music. So we are integrating that work, which I think even yesterday when I was speaking to Opry in his radio show, he was asking, how do you integrate them, including the activities, including some of the healthcare areas? Because you can go there only disturbed, maybe if you are disturbed. But there are other things, underlying diseases, which they call them comorbidities, that you have. It's either diabetic, it's high blood. So we're saying now, let's not isolate them. Let's do some work that will bring them to the society. Even when they are there, let's have some of the activities that are helping them, like at Steekfontein, at Westkoppies, with big yards there. You find them playing soccer, playing netball. So those are the other things that are bringing them to life when they are there. And I think it's working. So all the hospitals, we have those wards and they're operating in some. Some are finalizing them. And it's helping us to ease up the pressure that we've been having.
I've got Refilwe from Soweto on the line. Hello, Refilwe.
Hi, how are you, ma'am?
Good, good, welcome.
I'm good, thank you.
Go ahead, Refilwe.
I have a question for the MEC. For the MEC. Ma'am, I have a problem here. We've been striking for more than 2 years now. Since the premier said we should go back to work, I'm also one of the COVID 19 contractors. So why is it that when we
Let me just hand you back. Let's see if we can't get you on a better line because we can hardly hear you. MEC, we spoke a little bit about some of the infrastructure development, but there were facelifts that the Premier ordered. I'll call them facelifts, of reception areas and so on. You know, how are you doing with that and where are you putting your resources there?
We are doing the facelifts with the maintenance budget that we have, which is not that much.
Oh, I see.
Because according to the budget of what we usually do, your hospital maybe where you have a budget of 20 rand, and then we take 10% from that budget.
Okay.
It goes to maintenance. Yeah. So for facelifting, we are using that. Mm-hmm. Then for other bigger projects, we use CAPEX budget.
Okay.
But that's the money that we'll use for facelifting, like the reception must be proper, things must be done properly. At least you find a proper desk, like any other institution that you'll go to.
We are facing some water challenges, particularly in Johannesburg. And unfortunately, as the city experiences water challenges, so too are you are affected. And I remember Mdaledale talking about the fact that there are plans to capacitate the hospitals themselves independently. Because when the city is going through its own challenges, of course, as the Department of Health, you're affected within the hospitals, and that's not attainable. Just talk to me about those plans.
We have plans indeed. We're filling up those water reservoir on our own, whilst the municipality or the run water will be having a problem if it's maintenance. But again, in the wards, I've said no one, even today I was telling the colleagues that please make sure that each patient is having bottled water next to his or her bed because they need water. So we're organizing that, and I think it's doing well because so far we've not been having a problem. Remember, we had it at Charlotte Makleke, but immediately we had to arrest it by making sure that the reservoir, we fill it ourselves whilst Randwater is working with that other process. At Tele, we had it again. At Bethakloa, it was the same thing because we don't want to be affected by water to such an extent that we can close the institution because that will be really disaster for us, especially the health institution, which is hospital, this, including the clinics. We are trying to patch up those. And again, in the clinics, there are some of the clinics that are managed by municipalities.
Yes, sir.
But in those clinics, we are not saying when there is no water and say this is not our clinic. This is managed by municipality because we still have a responsibility. As one of the callers was saying, health is a right. It's not just a privilege. So we need to make sure that all those things that can take us down, we close them immediately as a Department of Health.
Let's quickly see if Refilwe's line is better now. Refilwe?
Hi, how are you, ma'am?
Excellent. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Can I just say hello to the MEC? Ma'am, I am not happy with your department or your party or your government. You always come, when you campaign, you always say that the youth is the future of the country. But yesterday on one of your interviews, I heard you saying that you re-employed 99.9% of COVID-19 contractors when you only took 511, and we've been striking for 2 years without any attention from you or your premier. So my question is, why is it that when we need your attention, you or the premier to come and address us as your former employees, you are never there? There's an office called the premier's office. The premier doesn't even work there. We've been sleeping in the cold the entire winter. And then I heard you yesterday when you were on 702, you said that people were re-employed. Why is it that You are disgracing our people. Why is it that you are leading us to desperation? There were ladies who were striking last month in front of your of Department of Health head office. Because they needed attention, they had to be naked. The video went viral. So can you imagine that we are unemployed? I left home telling my kids that I'm going to strike because I need my job back, which was promised. I mean, your premier said, I'm declaring that everyone should go back to hospitals. And then now you come back and lie to the people on national radio saying that 99.9% is employed when we are still outside. We were verified. We were like, the process was done. And no one is telling us the way forward or if we are going forward or we are going back. And you see what is happening. Why is your department treating the youth of this country like this?
Thank you, Rufile.
I'm one of the COVID-19 contractors, mm-hmm. and I'm left out unemployed. And due to the personnel that you guys give us, I can't even apply for a grant.
Rufile, thanks for your call. MEC?
I wanted to check where Rufile was working.
Rufile, where were you working?
I was working in Baragwana.
Okay. And you have been verified? You have your personnel?
We were verified, ma'am. We were verified. Okay. We were successfully verified.
Yeah,
I have
You will then communicate with the number that I'm going to leave it to Pam so that you are able to talk to me. Because, again, what I always say, let's not do things that will make other people shut doors to ourselves. There's no reason for you to go naked when you want to be listened to. There's no reason for you to sleep in the office of the premier when you want. There are proper processes, because I know I send officials there to address you in the office of the premier. Julius, I think you know Julius Maputa, is the person that came to yourselves. You closed Julius down. You didn't want to listen. It may not be you, but we'll address that. As I've indicated that now, we're reprioritizing. We're going to look into your issue. Thank you.
All right. Rufile, stay on the line. Our producers will take your details, and so we'll make sure that we get to the bottom of this for you. Let me just take a quick break, MEC, before we wrap up quickly, and I'll be back with more after this. Thank you so much for staying with us. I am in conversation with MEC of Health in Gauteng, Nomantu Nkomo Raluhuku, who's graciously agreed to stay a little longer with us. So thanks again, MEC. We will take Rufile's details, and we'll make sure that they get some direct help from you. And after the show, when we finish, we'll also give out some details where some of you who are listening may also be able to contact the MEC's chief of staff, perhaps to escalate some of the issues. MEC, just give us an update on that oncology ring-fenced funds that people were unhappy about, that 3,000 patients were still waiting for treatment. It's about 700 million that was ring-fenced and not much had been spent. Just give us an update on that.
I'm happy to update the citizens that all is well. Systems are in place. We have a team that is helping us to reduce the waiting list that was there, that are working very closely with the Department of Health, because these are the partners that are assisting us in the meantime that we're building the Linac machines, because we were delayed by the processes from the municipalities, because the planning teams in the municipalities were supposed to release us our plans that we applied to them so that we're able to build. Because when you build that machine, it must be built with the walls that are already inside so that everything is done properly. And again, there's a problem of radiographers, because we have another machine that is not operating at Charlotte Makleke because we don't have radiographers. And we want to make a call, those who are radiographers, can they assist the radiographers? Can they assist us to come and assist? Because even if we can build there, we must make sure that we have people that are going to operate those machines when they are there. But I think everything is fine. Steve Biko is assisting all the patients from Para, and Dr. George, Steve Biko and Charlotte Makleke, both they are doing that. But we need the machines in the hospital indeed. So that money that was ring-fenced indeed and it's working now properly in terms of the services that we must render because of the partnership that we have with the private hospitals and the private doctors that are helping us in the system.
You've committed to paying service providers within 30 days, and I know you have a massive backlog. A massive backlog before your time, before your predecessor's time. And so let's talk about how you're managing to do that, because that is going to be quite a tough challenge for you.
What we have done is to categorize our payments of our service providers. Mm-hmm. I've said to the team, let's not even owe a person that they've done their work and he's supposed to get his 1,000 rand, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for that.
Mm.
We need to pay service providers, especially small businesses, mm-hmm. because we're killing them if we're not paying them. Then those that we have some huge amounts of
those
money.
Legacy,
that, those legacy ones, we've categorized them and we have negotiations with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to say to Pembem, we're unable to pay you your 30 million, mm-hmm. but we'll definitely break it down.
Yes.
These are the months and we have agreements that we're doing with them. So I think it's getting better now day by day.
Okay.
We're sitting at 50%, sometimes 65%, 75%. We celebrate when we've paid service providers within 30 days, 75%. Mm-hmm. And now we're always now sitting at that level.
Okay.
And we get happy because we feel that before we used to be at 7%, 10% payment of service provider, that was really bad.
Yes.
And it's painful. So without those systems that we've put in place, we're able to do that. And I think as time goes on, we'll definitely go for 100%, even ourselves, like other departments, because we can't make that as an excuse that our department is big. We must put systems that must help our own people to be paid, especially SMMEs. Mm-hmm. It's not fair to everyone. And I always say, Pam, when I'm asked this question, I want to apologize mm-hmm. to everyone that I know we've wronged by not paying, because when you get the service, give me the service, you expect me to pay you.
MEC, will you just maybe give us those details, Khaukhwelo's email address perhaps, that we can share with everybody?
Yes, please. We'll definitely do that.
All right.
So that we can do that, speed up that process.
All right.
Yeah, because we're trying to speed it up now.
And we'll share mm-hmm. them with you just now. MEC, Nomantu Nkomora Lehuku, I really appreciate you coming through. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you.
That's MEC of Health in Gauteng.
Thanks so much for hearing us. We'll definitely meet again.
Thank you.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.